There's a congregation of devotees, their discussions, questions, and answers become conclusive to both the speaker and the audience. Thus, such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's real happiness. Nice verse and purport. Hearing discussions among the devotees is the only means to Hearing discussions among the devotees is the only means to receive the powerful message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For instance, Bhagavad Gita has been well known all over the world for a very long time, especially in the Western world, but because the subject matter was not discussed by devotees, there was no effect. Not a single person in the West became Krishna conscious before the Krishna consciousness movement was founded. But when the same Bhagavad Gita was presented as it is through the disciplic succession, the effect of spiritual realization was immediately manifested. Paragraph. Sanat Kumar, one of the Kumaras, informed Prithu Maharaj that his meeting with the Kumaras was benefited. His meeting with the Kumaras benefited not only Maharaj Prithu, but the Kumaras as well. When Narada Muni questioned Lord Brahma about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Brahma thanked Narada for giving him a chance to speak about the Supreme Lord. Therefore, questions put by a saintly person to another saintly person about the Supreme Personality of Godhead or about the ultimate goal of life surcharge everything spiritually. Whoever takes advantage of such discussions is benefited both in this life and in the next. And the final paragraph is just discussing one word. We'll just look at the one word. It's in the second line. Ubayesham. It's the same message as the previous paragraph, it's just expanding it. Ubayesham, word for word, is for both. So, final paragraph. The word Ubayesham can be described in many ways. Generally, there are two classes of men, the materialist and the transcendentalist. By hearing discussions between the devotees, both the materialist and the transcendentalist are benefited. The materialist is benefited by associating with devotees because his life then becomes regulated so that his chance of becoming a devotee or making the present life successful for understanding the real position of living entity is increased. When one takes advantage of this opportunity, he is assured of a human form of life in his next birth, or he may be liberated completely and go back home back to Godhead. The conclusion is that if one participates in a discussion of devotees, he is both materially and spiritually benefited. The speaker and the audience are both benefited, and the karmis and gyanis are benefited. The discussion of spiritual matters amongst devotees is beneficial for everyone without exception. Consequently, the Kumaras admitted that not only was the king benefited by such a meeting, but the Kumaras were as well. One other example of this that Prabhupada would often refer to, I'm surprised he didn't hear, is when Shukadeva Goswami spoke and Maharaj Parikshit heard. Both achieved perfection, both were equally benefited. Although one was in the speaking position, the other was in the hearing position, both were benefited equally. So the role is not the essence the essence is the essence. And the essence is Krishna Katha, whether broadcasting it or receiving it. Of course, to become effective at broadcasting a sound, one has to have received it. That was a qualification of Shukadev Goswami. He had received the message of Srimad Bhagavatam from his father. And of course, he was already on the liberated platform, Shukadev Goswami. He was Brahman realized, but not otherwise realized, not Bhagavan realized. But by hearing from Vyas, even within the womb of his mother, he became purpose-driven or enlivened, transcendentally enlivened, to go forward and receive further instruction from his father. That's a nice detail on after he left the womb of his mother. Poor mother, he was 16 years old. Must have been an uncomfortable pregnancy. And then as he left the womb, he just left, walked down the road and clothed by the four directions. And his father called out, we know this from the first canto, and all that came back was an echo from the trees. He was attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and in an extreme degree detached from anything worldly, including anything worldly. In I think it's Bhavishya Purana or Brahma Vaivarta Purana, one of the two. Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Vyasadeva wanted to thoroughly instruct his son in the details of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the description is that he sent a hunter to go into the forest, and the hunter found Shukadev Goswami, and then seeing him, he spoke some verses from the Bhagavatam. Hearing those verses from the Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami, who was unattracted to anything worldly, became very attracted and said, where did you hear this? Tell me more. He said, well, I don't know more. That's all I learned. I learned it from your father. Let's go. And he came back and he instructed him thoroughly in Srimad Bhagavatam. So he received the fullness of Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, and then he spoke it. But specifically, from Nectar Devotion at least, we understand there's nine processes of bhakti. Each one of them unto itself is sufficient for spiritual perfection, and Shukadev Goswami received perfection or attained perfection through speaking, Maharaj Pariksit through hearing, and that's this, both are equally benefited. So of course the verse itself is the Kumaras who are going to speak and Prithu Maharaj who is going to hear. And before they speak, first they've already said your questions are wonderful, and you're asking them not for yourself because you're already a perfected being, but you're asking for the benefit of others, which is a symptom of a great soul. You're interested in the benefit of others. You're a great soul. We honor you for that greatness of simply being concerned for the welfare of others. Of course, his welfare was already attained by his spiritual qualification. Still, he wants to hear, and that's something that was also mentioned. One may ask a question simply, you know, what of this for the benefit of others who may hear, but also churning the topics. We use this phrase, Prabhupada uses the phrase, churning the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, engaging further and more deeply in the process of hearing and chanting the message. So for that purpose, sometimes one may, although they may know, like in this case, this is Maitreya speaking to Vidura. Vidura is asking, Maitreya is speaking. Vidura already knew. He's he's Yamaraj, he's Mahajan, he already knows. But he's asking for illumination purposes and, you know, exploring the subject matter more deeply. Another way of saying the same thing, Prabhupada's expression, is that by the process of speaking and inquiring on a subject matter, the potencies are released. It's something like chewing on a globjamin. It's already juicy. But when you bite into the globjamin, the juice comes squirting out. So it's very nice. They're meant to be chewed, not just meant to be squeezed. So the Bhagavatam is also meant for discussion, and that's the point that he's making in the first paragraph, that that's another word, yat sambhashana, the third line, yat sambhashana, samprashnaha. Sambhashana means discussion, and samprashnaha, Prabhupada has translated it as questions and answers. So prashna means questions. And samprashna, in connection with this other term, yat sambhashana, it means, you know, the exchange, questions and answer, discussion, back and forth, discussion. That's the means of bringing the spiritual reality into this material existence. The example of discussing Srimad Bhagavad Gita, when before it was known, I heard many lectures in which Prabhupada would speak this point, prior to Bhagavad Gita as it is, where were the devotees being produced from the many, many translations of Bhagavad Gita? Like one lady asked Prabhupada, why have you made another translation? There's already so many translations. Prabhupada gave two answers. I couldn't recommend any one of them. So many. Because they're born of speculation. And they're not coming into cyclic succession. And then the other was this. Where have they produced bhakti or devotion to Krishna? Not one. Not one. So therefore the need is, from the cyclic succession, speaking the realized knowledge and awakening devotion in the hearts of others. Therefore the need for another. So the means, just like we're doing, you know, it's the system Prabhupada gave us. Somebody speaks, people listen. Another day somebody else speaks, people listen. The person who's speaking needs to speak the message without changing it, but to speak the message without changing it. You don't have to be like a super person. Just the message you received, you transmit. It's very simple. And that process itself is beneficial for the person who is, having received, is now speaking, and then someone else who is receiving. Same thing that Prabhupada was told twice, at least twice, by Bhaktisiddhanta, by going to the West and delivering the message of Lord Chaitanya, it will be beneficial for you as well as for them. Not just save the conditioned souls kind of a message. It's good for you and good for them kind of a message. Be anyone who has taught or had to prepare for class and give a class knows what I'm about to say. You learn more when you speak the message than you did before, when out of however many times you've heard the message. There's a potency in that service. It's not like, oh, now I have to perform, others will be examining me. That's not the potency. It's the spiritual potency of being an instrument. And when you act as an instrument, things happen. It's nice. Here's another example. I'm sure that we've all experienced this. If you had to sit down with a paper in front of you and you're asked some questions, you may not be able to give as many clear and cogent answers with examples that Prabhupada has given as when you're in a dialogue with somebody that's inquiring about Krishna consciousness, and miraculously, somehow or other, that means super soul, all kinds of things that you heard before just appear. It's just like at your fingertips. You know, in 5 seconds later, you may forget them. But because that hearing has been there, and you're in the mood of service to deliver the message, it comes. And then it's a very nice realization. You know, wow. Krishna's in the heart. Krishna's kind. Krishna's giving this remembrance. But Krishna also gets forgetfulness, so we're not in the position of trying to serve him. Somebody else was sharing this very same thing. I can't remember the context, but the same point. That is, there's some discussion with Jamuna Jivana about something like this. When we're in the position of speaking, it's special. We become the recipients of Lord Chaitanya's mercy when we act in that capacity, especially when you're very conscious that you're the instrument of Lord Chaitanya. But even we may not be so advanced for just kind of doing a service because somebody asked us to do the service. There's protection. We can be in all kinds of situations that are, normally we wouldn't consider. In the mood of being an instrument of Lord Chaitanya, then it's, if we lose that mood of service to Lord Chaitanya, we can have a problem. You know, the principle, because we were discussing last night, the principle of yukta vairagya, utilizing things in Krishna service. Nirbandha Krishna sambande yukta vairagya yuchate. But with anasaktasya vishayan, without attachment to sense gratification, using things in service to Krishna. If we forget service to Krishna, we'll also forget detachment from sense gratification, and here's these objects, and now this is how fall down happens. We're, not careful. Prabhupada's example of a razor blade, very sharp, it can shave or it can cut if you're not attentive. So you have to be attentive because this is a sharp instrument. So when we're acting as representatives of Lord Chaitanya, it's nice. And there's protection. And if we forget, then there's risk. And when there's risk, very easily, not like every time, but very easily, some accident can happen due to inattentiveness. So we should be attentive in devotion to our position as an instrument of Lord Chaitanya. And then it's very nice. So the first paragraph here is Bhagavad Gita as it is, being discussed amongst people, and devotion comes, and people become devotees. So when we do that, we should not be so foolish as to think we did it. Like, I made so many devotees, kind of. We made so many devotees, kind of thing. It's not we did anything. We're an instrument, and it's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That's our protection. That's how we should think. But the point in the first paragraph is in the third line. When this combination of hearing and chanting in the assembly of devotees, sangam kalu sadhunam. Certainly, when there is a congregation of devotees or association of devotees and there's hearing and chanting, bhakti awakens. Bhakti is the atmosphere is surcharged with spiritual wellness, spiritual opportunity. Then the second and the third paragraph are largely dealing with this word in the second line, ubayesham. So let's just repeat them. He's given us at least three meanings. Ubayesham is for both. So for both is the speaker, the kumaras, and the listener, Prithu. or Shukadev Goswami Maharaj Parikshit, or the other example that he gives here is Narada Muni, Lord Brahma. Narada Muni is asking about the personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma is saying, oh, this is very wonderful. You're giving me an opportunity to speak about Krishna, meaning beneficial for him, Brahma, as well as the receiver. So that's one of the categories. Speaking or receiving, Ubayesham, both are benefited. Then another application of Ubayesham is there's two categories of persons, materialists and transcendentalists. And when the transcendentalist aspiring devotees are discussing Krishna Katha, there may be a materialist or materialists in the audience. Both are benefited, the devotees that are having the discussion and the materialists who may be also present in hearing. And it's not that the spiritualists are judging. They're just having Krishna Katha. And there may be a person who is not so devotional, but the benefit is the same. And what is that benefit? He gives two. Their life becomes regulated so that they have a chance of becoming a devotee. And then the second is, or they may become perfect in understanding the personality of Godhead and go back to Godhead. So whether it's, you know, this level or that level or that level, their spiritual trajectory, transcendentally beneficial for both. That's a spiritual perspective. That's the reality. It's nice. Like the sages that were meeting when Narada, in his previous life, was a small boy, son of a maidservant. He's a small boy. And they're Bhaktivedantas. They're very elevated souls. And they weren't looking down their nose at, oh, here's the small boy, you know, you're interfering. What do you know? What do you know about anything? You're a whippersnapper. And that they weren't like that. That's not saintly people. They just showered their affection upon him, and he was an eager recipient of that affection. That's natural. Little boys and saintly people, especially a little boy like Narada was in his previous life, and so they just continued to instruct him and explained things to him and gave him a process of reaching perfection. And he reached perfection from that affection that they gave. And the way, you know, because the affection from a saintly person is to give spiritual benefit of this way and that way. And he held that very gratefully within his heart and lived his life according to the instructions that they gave for the whole rest of his life. And saw the personality of Godhead by the personality of Godhead's special kindness during his lifetime. Because, although he was literally insignificant, he was the recipient of the affection of the saintly people. So, beneficial for both the materialist and the transcendentalist. That's the second category. And the third is, that's mentioned, is both spiritually and materially one becomes benefited. This is Ubayesham word again. Both spiritually and materially benefited. How does that work? It works in the following way. When, here's the principle, with spiritual well-being, material well-being follows like a shadow. Like a shadow follows the object. The object moves, the shadow moves. Very simple. So, the main thing that we should attend to is spiritual well-being. with confidence that material well-being will follow. Material well-being doesn't mean I'm going to get rich, or I'm going to get famous, or I'll win the gold medal in the Olympics, or our athletic team is going to be the winner because I became a devotee. It's not something like that. Material well-being is, in the higher sense, that the competitive material approach to life. But those things, it's peace. Those things that I require, they're there. Those things that, just like as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chinta yanto mam yejana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshema vaham yaham. Unto those who ananya chintayanto mam, ananya, undivided consciousness or devotion to me, yejana paryupasate, and they're always engaged in this way. Unto those persons, tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshema vaham yaham, I bring whatever it is that they require, I arrange it. And whatever it is that they have, I'll preserve it. So one's worries of life disappear because I'm in Krishna's care. And Krishna is a very caring person to care. And so I may not have abundance of stuff I really don't need, but the things that I need, Krishna will provide. And that's not only the faith, it's the practical realization of the devotee. So materially and spiritually, both, one becomes benefited by this process. So it's a nice, very nice verse. Understanding the process of bhakti, and specifically the process of hearing and chanting, raising questions in the association, in the assembly of devotees, discussing those questions, hearing the answers, looking at the response from different perspectives. It's not mental or intellectual, it's spiritual, because the subject matter is Krishna. Our realization may be more or greater or lesser. That's okay too, that the spiritual benefit is going to be there. Absolutely. I'll just share this last thing. Srila Prabhupada taught Krishna, I shared this, that that period of time when Prabhupada had some devotees, I remember the letter, it was 1970, Prabhupada said, each temple should send their best devotee to come and join me in the World Sankirtan Party, 1970. So everyone did that. And then he started, he called it the World Sankirtan Party. The plan was to go around the world with these devotees and let the world have it, the holy name. And in the course of doing it, so they first went to India, and in the course of traveling around India, sometimes, largely Srila Prabhupada spoke in English because the audience largely could understand English. And he wanted to benefit his disciples so they could hear how he was speaking. So in his absence afterwards, they could speak as he spoke in English. But sometimes he spoke in Hindi. And the devotees didn't want to sit and listen to, for 1 hour or whatever it was, to a class and questions and answers in Hindi. They couldn't understand. So they wanted to leave. Be there for the kirtan at the beginning, and then when the Hindi lecture began, get up and leave. And Prabhupada insisted, no, you stay. Just by hearing the sound vibration, even you may not know the meaning of the words, you'll be benefited. Mm-hmm. And so they did, because that's what Prabhupada said to do. And they benefited, because the sound vibration in relation to Krishna even cognitively they didn't understand the message, they were benefited. And similarly, Prabhupada spoke about hearing, I mentioned this the other day, hearing Bhakti Siddhanta. Sometimes I wouldn't understand, Prabhupada said. My brain was puzzled, Prabhupada said. If Prabhupada's brain was puzzled, what about us? Where he can hardly even find a brain to be puzzled. But just by hearing or receiving message from a transcendental source, there's great benefit. This is our faith. So we certainly want to address audiences according to the audience. Even when trying to do so, the audience may not fully understand. We should be confident that just by hearing the sound vibration, particularly kirtan, because that's universally clearly transcendental, but the message itself explaining the process of bhakti and so forth, the glories of Krishna, people may not understand, but presenting anyway with full faith, it's beneficial for us as speakers to speak that message, beneficial for persons who are hearing, because the real benefit is purification, not just information and cognitive acknowledgement of something. It's nice to be able to understand, but the deeper understanding comes from a purified condition. Okay. So any comments or discussion?
I have two comments.
Two.
So this verse talks about the experience of, you know, what happens when there is a discussion between the combination devotees. What spiritual matters, like the atmosphere and how the energy is positive. So all those things I experienced yesterday, like when we had those commandments. You were just at my home, so we all had a nice discussion. And I felt the same experience what this is discussing here. So I just want to share that.
Okay.
And it was, like when I heard all this experience, I was like, oh, just I had it yesterday, and I felt so happy about that. And the second comment is, all this, I mean, so far from the last of your research to this, so we talk more on the King Prithu's.
About what?
King Prithu Maharaj.
That's what the verses are, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, for me, I started to like this chapter of King Prithu Maharaj, all his glories and his characters. Mm. And especially what the thing went from your last visit is, he talks more about his speech. In the last visit, there was one point, like a few things, what he talked about, King Prithu Maharaj's speech was more clear, precise, and more pleasing to the assembly of the devotees. Mm. So that went into my mind, and I was carrying it all my time.
Very
and
good.
Even the 2 days before this, I think yesterday verse was also talking about King Prithu Maharaj, how it was, the words were pleasing, and
yes.
It was appropriate to the situation.
Yes.
And I'm attracted to all these two things, and I'm praying.
And concise was another one.
And concise, yes. So, yes. So that's my weak point, and I'm praying to every day to Krishna and to you that at least a little bit of that I should have it, because I want to use that for my service. And also to my work in all, wherever I use my communications. So
like in your home?
At home, I mean, in all places.
Okay.
So every day I'm praying that, and since I'm on weaker side of that, so I sincerely submit my request to you, to return to Krishna.
Okay. Well, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is the best medicine, regularly. Anju, yeah.
This is about hearing.
Okay.
If one person has different conceptions,
sure.
Your conception, if one hears it, that heart is not open and it brings sometimes unfavorable mood, you know. Did that still benefit?
Yes. Yes. Because these conceptions, examples that you categories of conceptions and moods, they're transitory. The benefit that comes is transcendental. It's not dependent upon the transitory. I'll give an example that may help. Okay? Prabhupada speaking about his first meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta. And in his first meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktisiddhanta said to him, take this message. Oh, you're an educated young man. First meeting, take this message of Lord Chaitanya to the English-speaking parts of the world. Prabhupada had a different conception. He had a Gandhian conception. And he spoke the Gandhian conception. And for, Prabhupada said, for 20 minutes, Bhaktisiddhanta dismantled his Gandhian conception, which was, we can do that later. First we need Swaraj, because now the people of the world won't give respect to India and India's message, because we're subordinate to another government. We need independence. Then we can... That was his conception. Now, Prabhupada then further explained, this is not small, it's also important. He explains, from the time that I was a youth, I was always a leader. And whenever I spoke, people always accepted. In this case, I was defeated, and I was very happy. Now, supposing it was the other way around. Supposing he wasn't defeated and became, you know, I don't like the, you know, being defeated. I wasn't defeated. What's wrong with that person? He doesn't understand I'm right and he's wrong. You know, some feeling, a mood. Supposing. Nonetheless, the message is there. So it's something like, it's not ideal, but something like a person, Prabhupada would do this with people. Of course, he would know when to and when not to. But he would sometimes challenge purposely, and sometimes even very quickly challenge, so that the comfort zone that people like, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, comfort zone, it then gets, well, wait a minute, maybe it's not I'm okay and you're okay, maybe I'm okay and you're not okay, or maybe I'm not okay and you're okay. So the comfort zone, it was purposeful. He knew when to do it, he knew how to do it, but the mood may have been, you know, reactionary. Nonetheless, with faith, the transcendental message is there. I'll give another example. We go to, what's this, Delmar Street? Was the circle? Then with the place? We go and chant. Or, you know, some circumstance. We go to a public place and we chant. And there's a whole spectrum of how people receive it, isn't it? Some people think, oh, how wonderful. Some people think, oh, this is awful. Mm-hmm. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, wonderful Vaishnava, describes how he first contacted the devotees. He was from Australia or New Zealand. He was working in London, and the devotees would go out on Oxford Street every day up and down and chant. There was just happened to be the time and the place where he had to go to work. So he would see the devotees and he'd cross the street. Thinking, oh, you know, this is disturbing. The mood wasn't, you know, favorable. Nonetheless, it purified. And what a wonderful Vaishnava. I mean, what a wonderful, wonderful, super wonderful Vaishnava. So it acts. So that answers your question. The person who is speaking has to be sensitive, thoughtful, you know, considering the response. But while considering the response, one must also bear in mind, you know, the transcendental aspect, that none, you know, regardless of how it's received, and there is another point of view, the message is very effective. The process of hearing is very effective. For a very advanced, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's a very advanced, the personality of Godhead, was able to persuade persons of literally all varieties of other concepts. The Buddhist priest, and the Muslim military ruler, and so many, you know, different categories. Shankazi, and, you know, Prakashananda Saraswati, and so many varieties. Jaghai Madhai, so many varieties of personalities who had other ideas. A great personality can help those persons, has the power to bring those persons to the right idea, or, you know, to the transcendental position, let's say. We don't. We're not so qualified. Still, faith says that process is beneficial for us and for them. My little spiritual attainment will be benefited just by embracing the process or nurturing the creeper of bhakti by the process. And I can't change the hearts of other people. It's beneficial, nonetheless. Even my little. And once again, third time. When so doing, we should be very, as much as Krishna gives us the intelligence to do so, he's trying to be sensitive to the audience and how the audience will receive favorably and so forth. Then at the same time, the message is transcendental, and both will become purified. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.